you can grab your outline this morning. It's in the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along with me, I'm going to refer to that outline as well as your devotional. If you've got one already in hand, the Bold Faith Devotional, keep an eye on that. We'll use this at some point. About 8 or 9 years ago, I went to Colorado. And this was a every other year occurrence for several years there. We got involved in a father-son initiative with Focus on the Family. And the first son decided via Focus on the Family that he wanted to do a father-son outing to the Gunnison River in western Colorado. So we went out canoeing for the week, Sam and I and a guide and a group from Focus on the Family, a bunch of dads with young sons, just a great week. The number two son decided he wanted something a little more adventuresome than just paddling a canoe for a week. So he signed us up for a father-son wilderness getaway. And I got a picture to prove that we were there. Probably can't see it from here, but it hangs on my wall at home just as a reminder that week. And we did every extreme sport that you could think of. I mean, that's what kids are about, extreme sports, right? Which I was wondering if I would survive any of the extreme sports myself, but rock climbing and horseback riding and rafting and high ropes, zip lines, and rappelling was probably the most challenging of the bunch. Danny here had no fear of heights. They took us to this 60-plus foot crevice rock. It was like a canyon. Strapped a rope onto our waist with a anchor on the top and a guy at the bottom who you could barely make out down there. And, of course, the guide asked us, okay, which one of you two is first? It's a father-son adventure. You do what your son does. And so I thought, well, son, you go first. If you survive it, I'll try it. And he did. Boy, he leaped over the edge of that cliff and disappeared. Boom, boom, bing, bing. Down he went to the bottom. All right, Dad, you're up. They pulled the rope up to me. Stuck on the harness, and I grab onto this thing, and I lean back over before I go just to see what it looks like below. And my guide yells to me, don't look back. Just trust me. Are you sure? And so I slowly edge my way out to the precipice, and I kind of had second thoughts. It took me a couple of times to determine if I could really make the jump because you could not see the wall below. All you could see was the edge of the cliff. And for me, it was really the stark illustration, a great illustration of a leap of faith. And I had to choose at that moment whether I was going to entrust my life to some guy I did not know on the other end of a 150-foot rope. And as I sized him up from 60, 70 feet up, he didn't look that heavy to me. In fact, I think I might have outweighed him, which was one of my concerns. Nevertheless, as you can imagine, I survived the experience, in case you're wondering. I took the leap. I took the first jump, and over I went. And sure enough, I bounced off the wall of that canyon like a pro all the way down to the bottom. And Danny said, that was fun, Dad. Let's do it again. I said, you go ahead, son. I'll watch from down here. We are part of an initiative that really began some 5 years ago. This is the fifth year that we've done the Bold Faith Initiative. A group of pastors who meets for prayer annually. And we were 3 days in a retreat praying together for our county and our churches. And one of the pastors asked, what could we do to develop a corporate activity campaign where as many churches as possible could be involved and participate together. And we brainstormed some ideas, and we came up with what we eventually called the Bold Faith Initiative. And we determined that it would be a neat thing for us to, our churches, and as many churches as I mentioned that we could get to join in, to corporately participate in a month-long crusade, campaign, or initiative, as we call it, Bold Faith. And so there was born, as some of you recall, those 5 years ago when we initiated the Bold Faith, that idea. And we put together a variety of things that we determined we wanted to do for a month as congregations, kind of on the same vein, doing the same thing, wearing the wristbands. Thus, if you haven't picked one up, pick one up this morning. Because your assignment for the next 30 days is not only to wear this, but it's to do what it says, to live boldly by faith. And in fact, to identify people from other churches who are wearing their wristbands, who are part of the Bold Faith Initiative. We thought it'd be neat to have the same prayer thought and devotional on a daily basis. And so we wrote, and you have in your hands, the devotional by some 20 pastors who wrote 5 days a week devotionals for you and I to follow and to pray through on each day. We're praying the same prayer on the back as a bold faith prayer. We'll finish with that this morning, that we're going to encourage our people from 25-plus congregations this morning to pray together. And we determined to get together at the end of the month and rally as the body of Christ, the corporate or broader body of Christ in Branch County, and to share with one another experiences, to worship God and share testimonies. How many of you have been to a Bold Faith rally in the past? Coming up after the end of September, actually the 2nd of October, we'll be rallying up in Coldwater. You'll get more information on that. So was born Bold Faith. This year's focus, as you'll notice on the front of the outline, and in fact it's in your bulletin as well there, my message, is from Hebrews 11. And our theme verse, do you see it in front of you? It's very short. It's really the shortened version of Hebrews 11 there on the devotional guide. Why don't you read that there at the bottom of the page with me? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's our focus or our thrust for the month of September, Bold Faith 2016. Your assignment is to memorize that verse. Well, you can go beyond that because there's more to the verse, but if only you can pick up the first half of that passage, I think you'll get the gist of what we're trying to do. Now, that's a strange verse if you think about it, because we like verses that talk about the possible, not the impossible. Most often, we'll quote verses about God like, with God, all things are possible. But in fact, that's not fully the case. God himself tells us that there are certain things he cannot do. He tells us, as God, he cannot lie. That's totally against his nature. That is irrational for him to do. He could never do that. The Bible tells us that God cannot be mocked. We may try to mock God, but we could never do that. The Bible says that God cannot deny himself. That would be idolatry on God's part if he were to deny himself, affirming someone else as God. He can't do that. And it also tells us that he cannot be pleased with someone like you or like me who won't trust him. You know, that's not unusual, because any of us in relationships can affirm the fact that where there is no confidence, there's no trust, there's no pleasure in that relationship, be it a marriage relationship, be it a parent-child relationship, be it a boss and employee relationship at work. Trust is a basic factor to every relationship, isn't it? And so God says, if you won't trust me, I can't be pleased in you. Now notice, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn over to the book of Hebrews, that's the context for our Bold Faith this month. It's the book of Hebrews, and in fact the devotionals will take you throughout that book, various verses that pastors will expound on, including our theme verse, which is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But let me just contextualize Bold Faith here for just a minute, because Hebrews 11 is written in the context of Hebrews chapter 10. And if you have a Bible in hand, want to turn with me over there, you'll notice that the book of Hebrews is being written to a group of Jewish believers, Christians. It's probably a second generation of Christians who are, in fact, tempted to return to Judaism, to leave their Christianity. They are undergoing some strong persecution, both from Jewish peoples of the time, as Jesus did, you know, the Jews in Jerusalem, but also from the Roman Empire and the government, which is clamping down on Christianity. And so there's this tendency, this temptation to return to Judaism. And the book of Hebrews is written specifically to argue that Jesus in every way is superior to Moses as a prophet, and that the new covenant is superior in every way to the old covenant, exemplified in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and that Jesus is a superior high priest to the high priests of Israel. And in fact, he himself is a superior sacrifice to any bulls or goats that could ever have been sacrificed. That's the gist of Hebrews. But you get down to chapter 10, and the writer here begins to tell us about how rough it is. He affirms the fact that this generation is dealing with some very difficult times, times which I don't think we can fully appreciate. Pick up there, if you're in chapter 10 in Hebrews with me, in verse 32. He writes, "Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light when you endured a great conflict full of suffering? Do you remember that? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood by the side of those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." Boy, you can't appreciate that, but I'll tell you what, there are Christians in 40 Muslim nations who know exactly what that's like, where it is illegal to convert to Christianity, and to do so could mean the confiscation of your properties or the loss of a job or even physical suffering and punishment. Verse 35, "Do not throw away your confidence." I love that word, confideo from the Latin, with faith. Really jives with what we'll see in chapter 11. "Don't throw away your confidence," he writes. "It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." And the book of Hebrews is huge on that. God has promised you a reward. There's something good coming. It'll be worth it in the end. And so he writes, hang in there, persevere. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay. But my righteous one will live by, what's the word? Faith. Habakkuk 2:4 from the Old Testament. And I will take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. And then he finishes the chapter in a positive note. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. There's the context of Hebrews chapter 11, and so he begins the chapter. Now faith, he defines it for us, is confidence. Remember that word from the previous verse? It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Notice the context of faith. You only need faith in situations where you don't know the outcome. It's a future outcome, what you're hoping for in the future, or where you can't see at the present moment the situation fully, the invisible. That's what faith is, and that's where faith applies. And then he goes on to say, this is what the ancients were commended for. And so what you have in the following verses is some 18 individuals who are affirmed in the book of Hebrews as faithful believers in the Old Testament. Some of the outstanding stories and situations of the saints. And he's helping these Hebrews in the second century or first century Christianity to identify themselves with some of the ancients who were faithful to God because of their faith. And you see this repeated throughout the chapter, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And so the passage that we're highlighting, verse 6, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Notice it goes on to say, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists, that he's who he claims to be, that he is God. And not only that, that he rewards those who what? Who earnestly seek him. That's an outstanding passage that deserves, I think, our attention. And I hope you'll do service to that in the next month. I hope you'll take time to read through those devotionals. Do it with Hebrews 11 opened up. Make sure you read the verse for the day. In fact, you may want to review some of the previous passages as well from Hebrews chapter 11. Wow. You know, faith is foundational, according to this verse. You cannot live the Christian life without it. It's a basic ingredient to our relationship with God. That's what we're told there in verse 6, isn't it? It's impossible to please him without it. In fact, Romans 14 says, anything that is not of faith is sin. I could be standing up here trying to do a good thing this morning, preaching a message, and not doing it by trusting God. And guess what you're watching me do? Sin, right before your eyes. Anything that is not of faith, principally, it's wrong. God requires faith in every situation and circumstance. We are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8, and we are told to live not by sight, but by faith as Christians. And so we saw that verse from Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. Faith is foundational. It's objective. It's not subjective. It's more dependent upon its object than it is on the subject. Now, that's surprising to me because I see the disciples with Jesus, and they ask him, Lord, increase our faith. Make us stronger believers. And Jesus' response to them is, it's not how strong your faith is. It's how solid the object is that you put your trust in. He says, you only need the faith of what kind of a seed? Just a mustard seed. That's enough. That'll do. As long as it's planted in fertile soil, it's going to grow. It's not how big your faith is. It's how big your God is, which you place your faith. I repetitively use the example of ice. I know that's probably not a good example this time of year. Somebody told me they were commiserating the cold coming here this morning, and they're getting ready to head to Arizona. We don't feel sorry for you, Don. But, you know, when you leave, ice is going to come upon the lakes here in the county. Never mind. You wouldn't understand that. I took some South Americans out in the ice a number of years ago over at Lake George. They'd never seen snow. They'd never seen ice. They were up here in December. So, in fact, they're missionaries that we support now in Africa. Juan and Adriana Palacios, medical doctors from Argentina. I said, come on, we're going to take you out in the ice. It was the funniest experience. And I'll tell you what, it was one of those frozen ices that where it only happens every so often, where it freezes so fast and so hard that it's almost crystal clear. It's like glass. We had one of those this year where there's no snow on the ice. It's just clear. So when you walk out, have you ever done this? You can actually see the bottom. And not just for a little while. We went out into the drop-off, and you could see down to the bottom. And I got to tell you, I'm an ice fisherman, but I was just a little bit, and the ice wasn't that great. It was 2.5-3 inches, which generally technically should be able to hold the weight of an adult as long as he's not standing next to a couple others. So I said, come on out. The water's great. Follow me out to the ice. And you should have seen these South Americans, you know, edging out there. And they're being weirded out as they're looking at this. They've never been on ice before. And I'm halfway across the lake. I'm saying, what are you guys waiting for? I had all kinds of faith, didn't I? They didn't. Guess what? Same result. The ice held all of us up that day. The opposite is also true. You could have all kinds of faith in weak ice, honeycombed, rotten ice, you know, last ice. And you could walk out on that ice believing with all your might that that ice is firm and solid and you'll go through. Why is that? Because faith ultimately is dependent upon its object. Jesus said, it's not how big your faith is, it's how big your God is. That matters. That's where it's at. Faith is foundational. It's objective. It's dynamic. It's not static. It's active. It's more like a verb than a noun. It grows with youth. It's like a muscle that can be strengthened and developed or attrition. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have gone out and ridden a bike or done something you hadn't done for a while and you realize there were some muscles that were needing exercise? Have you noticed that? That's what faith is like. It needs to be exercised or becomes flabby and weak. That starts with a steady diet of God's word, because that's what the Bible tells us, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing who? Not the pastor's preaching. Not Joyce Meyer's on teaching, on television. Not so-and-so's latest book. Where is faith germinating in the Word, in the words of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. That's why the emphasis on faith is so basic and essential, and why God's Word is part of the process. Now, I want you to take note there in your outline, point three. Here's your assignment for the month. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, God bless you. It's good to have you with us. You're welcome to join in. You can pick up the series online as far as the devotions as well as the messages. But this specifically for our congregation, what I'm going to ask you to do is the following. Number one, do your daily devotions. We've already talked about that, haven't we? We've looked at the devotional guide, and included in that in the daily devotions is the back sheet. I'd like for you to pray that prayer for yourself every day, if you would. And as I mentioned, we'll pray this together here in just a few minutes. Number two, wear your wristband and use it. This is your ID badge. This tells us that you're part of Bold Faith. And if you catch somebody from somebody else's church that's not wearing theirs, you scold them, would you? You know they're in Bold Faith. Tell them to get their wristband on, right, Tim? Let's make sure they're up to snuff here. We want people to know that we're part of the Bold Faith Initiative. Wear your wristband. Make that a reminder. It's like a wedding ring that you get up and you see that, and it reminds you of that commitment you made. Remind yourself that your assignment is to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6. You can't please God without it. And that's your and my assignment on a daily basis. Use it as a connection to other churches and other Christians as well. Here's the phrase I want you to use, something to this effect. You're at Walmart, you see somebody with a Bold Faith bracelets, go over to that person and initiate a conversation. Hey, you part of the Bold Faith Initiative? Say that with me. Hey, are you part of the Bold Faith Initiative? What church do you go to? Very good, you're getting it. And they're going to tell you who they are and what church they're from. Introduce yourself. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm from such and such a church. It's surprising. I've had people tell me, hey, I didn't know that person was a Christian that I worked with. And they were wearing a Bold Faith bracelet until I made that connection with them. And I've got a brother or sister in Christ right around from me in the cubby next door or at work. That's probably true of more people than you know of. I think that's unfortunate in a small county like ours, that we don't have a better connection with the broader body of Christ. That's what Bold Faith can do for you and me, make that connection. Notice number three, I want you to identify and take steps of faith, kind of like I did splunking there. When splunking, was it rappelling, right, off the cliff? It was that step or leap of faith. That involves risks. Studies, University of Columbia has shown that the happiest people are the people who are willing to take risks. Not those who play it safe, as we tend to do, human nature. But it's people who are willing to risk because they've identified something that's of great value or worth more than the consequences of failure. And they demonstrate that by risking. I'm going to ask you to identify something in your life that you can do in the name of the Lord that might be a risk. It's going to require faith. You're going to have to step out, unsure of what might happen, and entrust yourself or the situation to God. Now, for some of you, that could be something as simple as going next door and inviting a friend to the hog roast next Sunday. Well, you've got your assignment then for the week, don't you? Just identify somebody you know that would probably, maybe not going to church today, that would probably go if someone were to invite them. Let them know what's up. Give them the brochure. Invite them to ride along if you'd like. That could be a step of faith for you. For some of you, it may be writing a letter from an estranged loved one, making a phone call or a visit. For all of us, I think it means that we initiate relationships with non-Christians, with people around us who need Christ. Identify and take steps of faith. And then number four, what I want you to do is to share the experience. Share the experience. I'm going to give you a couple of context. Sunday mornings, as we tend to do at Bold Faith, a little different feel here for the message series. I'm going to ask at the beginning of my message, every Sunday, the same question. Is there anyone here who's got a bold faith experience to share, or a wristband encounter this week, or devotional inspiration, something you read in your devotions that you'd like to share. I'm going to ask that every Sunday. And so your job, my job, is to come forward and to say something, to share something. You know what? This week I had an opportunity to go visit so-and-so in the hospital, or, and we can affirm your faith in what God did as a result of it in and through you. Now, there tends to be a lot of nasal gazing that goes on at that time. People kind of tend to look down when you ask for volunteers or for somebody to speak up. And I would hope that you've got something to do or something to say because you've put to work your faith this week in one of those three areas. You read something in your devotion that really just dead on, circle or underline it and bring it to church with you and say, you know what, something I read on Wednesday that really challenged me. Paragraph from your devotional. You got an experience that God used you or he pushed you out of the nest and you stepped out in faith? Tell us about it. Or did you meet somebody? I liked the a couple years ago, the person that said, I met a bold faith Christian at the drive-through window at McDonald's. Anybody remember that? And guess what? Everybody in the church made it a point to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's after that so they could meet that bold faith Christian and affirm their faith. Good for them. That's what we ought to be about, isn't it? That's what bold faith is for. Small groups will start up, not this week, but next week. After the hog roast, the week of the 12th, you'll have an opportunity to share with others in the groups. And as a result, I think you experience what God is doing on a greater level, not just individually, but congregationally. And then third, I want you to join the crowd. Or finally, I want you to join the crowd. You'll notice there in your bulletin, the rally, October 2nd, you'll hear more about that up at the Nazarene Church in Coldwater. We're going to get together with Christians from some 25 different churches. And you and I are going to have an opportunity to celebrate good things that God did in the month of September through Bold Faith. We're going to join together with Batavia Community Church, with Bronson United Methodist Church, with Burlington Church of God, with the California Presbyterian Church, with the Church of Christ at Bronson, with Coldwater Church of the Nazarene, Crossroads Bible Church, Damascus Roads Ministries, Fayette Street Church of Christ, the First Baptist Church of Bronson, First Baptist Church of Coldwater, First Congregational Church of Bronson, the First Congregational Church of Union City, Gospel Lighthouse Church, Let's Talk About Jesus Church, the Holy Spirit Church, Lockwood Community Church, New Heart Christian Ministries, Northview Christian Church, Oasis of Love Family Church, Snow Prairie Bible Church, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Today's Church in Union City, or in Quincy, I'm sorry, World Harvest Church, and the Union City Assembly of God. Those are the churches that you and I are connected with for the next 30 days. Isn't that cool? And those are the wristbands of the people that you and I are going to encounter as we find out who these people are and make new friends, brothers and sisters in Christ from around the county. Those who, like us, are willing to step out in faith, bold faith. And so that's my application this morning as we close. A little different twist on the message. But your call and my call is to express our faith and to do it boldly. The Apostle James, actually Jesus' brother, it is thought, wrote the book of James. In chapter 2, he writes this. He said, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's the argument he makes. Faith works. It's productive. It's active. And if you and I are faithful believers, we need to get busy, don't we? We got to get to work. Let your faith go to work. Like a muscle, exercise it. And I guarantee it'll grow. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning as we break the ice here in Bold Faith. We can hardly identify with the believers in the book of Hebrews. What must have been an awful, difficult era to be faithful. The high price that they paid, oftentimes with their very lives. And yet we understand that's the context of our chapter this month. It's the struggle. It's the need for perseverance in the face of adversity, opposition. Faith, even when we cannot see. You tell us that without faith, without that kind of trust, we cannot please you. And so I pray for myself and I pray for all of us that you would prompt us through your Holy Spirit to step out in faith. Remind us daily to identify ourselves as bold faith Christians and then to follow through, to do thus works, acts of faith in your name. Show us around us those who are faithless that we might go and share what you've given us and even see faith come alive in their lives. And finally, I pray that as a result of this time, our faith would be strengthened individually, corporately as a congregation, in terms of the community of Christ in Branch County, so that in the end you are glorified, you receive greater recognition and praise. That's our objective, that's our goal. That's the reason for the Bold Faith Initiative. And so I pray that you'd help us to that end. If you've got a devotional there in your hand, why don't you turn to the back cover and read with me, would you? New words to you, you'll have to think about their meaning. But as we initiate, why don't you read this prayer together with me? And we'll close our time in song. Are you ready? Have you got it there? If not, just listen along. Dear God, you are the God who rewards those who earnestly seek you, and you are pleased by my faith. And so I ask you, strengthen my faith, make me bold for your kingdom cause, and use me today in my church and in my community. I boldly ask these things in the name of your Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our prayer for the month. I hope those will be more than words to you. I hope you'll take those to heart and sincerely pray that God would do just that in your life. Hey, this morning we'll have a linger longer afterwards. You want to join us next door for coffee or refreshments? I hope you can stick around for a few. Please do not miss the tomatoes in the hallway there. There's at least a bushel of tomatoes out there. There's half a dozen bags. Fill up a bag and take them home with you, if you would, please. As well as produce next week, if you've got something you want to share, bring it in. We'll be glad to spread it around. And then finally, don't forget the hog roast happening here next Sunday. Opportunity for us to step out in faith to bring somebody. I think they'll be glad you did if you'll make that effort.